never rests.
What is up, everybody? It is the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Rusty Mansell, and we are from Dogs HQ. It's Alabama week, Rusty. We're going to talk about that. Can Georgia change the narrative with Alabama this year? We're going to dig into that. And what are we listening for this week, as it is a massive week for Georgia recruiting-wise? Not that they'll be out doing a whole lot, but terms of getting a big win and getting some momentum and getting a little buzz that way. It's a big one for Alabama because it's a home game. But we're going to talk about kind of what we're listening for, good things, bad things as the week goes along, what might help our feelings, what might hurt our feelings a little bit, Rusty. But it's Georgia-Alabama week, and I'm excited we get that first big game week of the year.
This is as big as it gets. This is the team that's had Georgia's number. I don't think you have to sugarcoat that anyway. This is the game that Kirby Smart needs to win. Perception-wise, he's beat everybody else. He's won every possible huge game. He's won national championships. They've won, New Year's Day bowl games. They've had number one recruiting classes. If you read Kirby Smart's bio, if somebody were to make it, the little fine print would say his record against Alabama. So, this is a big game for the University of Georgia, first and foremost, but obviously a game for Kirby Smart. This is Kalen DeBoer's first SEC game against Georgia. There's so many different storylines. I think in the short term, as far as what we're looking for, which I think a lot of people will be looking for, is injury. What does Mykel Williams look like? Is he getting reps? Is Jordan Hall? Where is he at? Warren Brinson, those types of things. I think that's the short term. What we're looking for this week is, where are those guys at the start of the week? And, Jake, we get injury reports on Wednesday and Thursday, Friday now? You're on mute.
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and early in the day on Saturday. And then they have one 90 minutes before game time. So we'll have plenty of opportunity to kind of figure out what's going on there. And something tells me none of those guys are going to be listed any better than questionable at any point. But that's just me.
Probably not. Well, who knows, man? I mean, who knows what they've told the guys behind the scenes in the SEC office not to be playing games with that, maybe. But, the NFL.
I look at it like Xavier McLeod, who was questionable all week long and then game time decision and then played 15 snaps for him. I think that, whether those guys are – I don't think they're playing games necessarily. I think that, if you were to get them there, technically, we did need to see him look pretty good in warmups before we were going to say he was ready to play. They're right. It's tough to get around that part of it.
It's just going to find out that's the short-term question, but the big topic of the week is Georgia versus Alabama. Like Georgia, this isn't make or break, as you say, those SEC championship games were like last year. I think everybody kind of had the pulse. No matter Georgia had won ever how many games in a row, they were undefeated. They were ranked number one. They had to win that game to get in. And that's not the case here. But perception-wise, this is a game that you need to beat Alabama. You need to beat Alabama to kind of put a dent into that thing. And I don't think it would be a better place for Kirby Smart and that team to go into Tuscaloosa at night. And Kalen DeBoer's first SEC game as a new head coach at Alabama. What a win for Georgia would do for a lot of reasons there.
I'll tell you one thing that really excites me about this season, Rusty. And it excites me because I know that there are going to be people that won't be on my level, and then they're going to get on my level with this. I don't care what happens on Saturday, and I'm going to pick Georgia to win on Saturday because I think Georgia's going to bounce back. I do feel like the Kentucky game was a pretty good setup for them to kind of get humbled ahead of a big game like this. And I think Georgia's going to bounce back as of right now. Maybe I hear something later in the week that changes my mind. But, okay, Georgia loses the game. They go to Alabama and they lose on the road in the SEC against the top five team. My God, sound the alarms. It's the worst thing ever.
Get the hot list ready.
Yeah, get the hot list ready. Get that hot board ready for the coaches. But, Rusty, the season's nowhere near over. And then let's say they go to Texas, right? Let's say they go to Texas and they go out there and one gets away from them in Texas. Like, you know, not necessarily they get beat up, but like they just, you know, they don't make the play when they need to. They get lose a close one in Texas, let's say by 8 points or whatever. Yeah, season's still not over. It's, I mean, we're still getting into November and you're talking about, all right, beat Ole Miss in Tennessee and you're in, buddy. You're good to go.
And that's, they got to go 2-2 in those games. They got to go 2-2.
Right. And that's what makes this season kind of beautiful right now, you know, because Georgia loses those games. It's going to fall back. You know, who's going to move up? Tennessee's going to move up. Ole Miss is going to move up. Those are going to be higher ranked wins then. And even then, like 10-2 with that schedule gets you in. And I'm not sitting here saying like, hey guys, listen, give this team time. I fully expect this team should play really good football against Alabama and it should play really good football against Texas. I'm not excusing any of that. But I think Georgia, I mean, would it shock anybody if you didn't beat Alabama and Texas on the road, but you found a way to get Ole Miss and Tennessee in November? Nobody's going to be shocked by that. And the season's still a pretty big success there. You're going to get to host a playoff game at Sanford Stadium, for crying out loud. That's going to be pretty crazy.
I just think the story here is Georgia's got to beat Alabama.
It is 100%.
This is not make or break. This is not make or break. But you need to beat Alabama. You need to beat Alabama and kind of put that narrative down for a while that you can't beat them. If Georgia goes into Tuscaloosa and they beat Alabama, I don't care what you are as an Alabama fan. You start thinking, well, damn, Nick Saban went 5-1 or whatever he went against him. You know what I mean? And now you're 0-1. So this is a big game for both sides. You know, it's one of those deals where you know, the storylines are there. But if Georgia wins this game, there's still, you know, there's a lot of football left, man. Yeah. And you got to make the – I just told a friend of mine. I was on the phone with a buddy of mine. He actually played at Georgia, one of my good buddies back in the day, before I got on this call. And I said, man, if Georgia goes 2-2, they're in those four games. They're going to make the playoffs. And you know what? Georgia's going to probably host a game on December the 21st in Athens, 4 days before Christmas. Can you imagine hosting a game in Athens on the 21st on a Saturday night? Just imagine, just say maybe, what if Michigan comes to Athens in late December for a playoff game? There's so much new stuff to that, but there's so many different storylines, and you're 1,000% correct about this is not a break as far as long-term goals. I just think this is a massive game internally for Georgia to beat Alabama and to get that monkey kind of off your back a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you on that narrative for sure. I mean, it's a tough one because, again, that SEC on the road at night type thing, you know, I mean, it's like, hey, you got to win this one to get the monkey off your back. That's I don't know that, you know, it's almost like that's the only scenario where it might be okay to let the monkey stay because it's going to be a tough game to win and one I think Georgia will win. But that's just – that one's tough. I mean, I do know this. Next time they play in Mercedes-Benz, Georgia needs to find a way to win that game. There's something about that one that's got to happen. I mean, they got to find a way to bust through in that building.
Yeah, they have had some LSU game, and they've taken some L's in that building now.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the national championship game, a lot of football. I think college football fans are going to have to, and us too. You're going to have to kind of get yourself acclimated to. And Hunter Lacy's got a point right here that Georgia just didn't feel like Georgia standards is to be in 10-2. It's not the standard. But you also got to understand on the other side that 10-2, and you're still got a chance to win the national championship. 10-2 previous before this, you're out. You're out of it. So you're not out at 10-2. Now, that is not the goal of Georgia, and that's not something they intend on
to. The standard also doesn't have anything to do with this, you know, and I know the fans like, you know, it's their standard. I get that. Mm-hmm. But Georgia standard has nothing to do with the scoreboard or anything like that. I mean, it's just kind of like, hey, next play, best you got, keep it going. That's kind of the, you know, one step at a time type thing. And, you know, listen, there's no doubt in my mind that at some point Georgia's going to play, you know, it's less than best football in the wrong moment, probably going to drop a game this year. I mean, I think there's a very good chance of that happening.
I picked the Texas game.
And I picked the Ole Miss game just because I wanted to kind of be different. But it's just – I don't know. I think the standard kind of gets tossed around a little bit sometimes to kind of say, well, this is not what I want to see, so it can't be Georgia standard. And, you know, I've talked to Matt Godwin about this before, kind of how, you know, the standard explicitly, you know, excludes the scoreboard because, listen, all you can do is the best you can do. And if you do that every play, then the scoreboard is going to take care of itself, especially when you recruit like Kirby Smart does. Yeah. And I hate to sound like a philosopher right now.
Yeah, but that's not what Georgia's – that's not what Kirby Smart's created, though. I mean, the fan base, they expect to win them all. They expect to win them all, and that's
– not with the fan base, but yeah. We need to separate the standard. Yeah. We need to separate Kirby Smart standard from the Georgia standard. That's how they get where they get, and that's how they have those Freddy Krueger-like games like Nick Saban used to talk about, like, all right, you think they're gone, but they're not. They're not. That's how you come back and beat Ohio State. You know, that's the stuff that happens. And so I just think that's kind of two things we get a little bit conflated sometimes. But ultimately, I get it. I don't think anybody's going to be over the moon about 10-2 when, you know, you feel like this team should, you know, has the capability of going 11-0 or really, you know, allowing you to be a hit at parties and going 12-0. I mean, you wear your Georgia sweater into some parties after a 12-0 regular season of that schedule, you go right ahead. You wear your ugly Georgia Christmas sweater at that point because they're going to get a first-round bye probably, and especially if they win the SEC championship game.
Well, Georgia went undefeated last year, and they sat at home, and you lost by one. So
we'll do it this year.
I don't think anybody will go back and go, damn it, you know, we won the national championship, but that 10-2 was a bad deal. I mean, it's – there's so much different. There's so much different kind of path now, but I don't think we need to get past this game. This is a game that Georgia really, really, really needs to win this football game. And I'll go ahead and tell you right now, I'm picking Georgia. I've picked Georgia all summer. I've picked Georgia the last week, last 10 days. I think this is going to be a knockdown, drag out, physical, four quarter, freaking SEC. Grown man football game. And
God, so, you didn't say slobber knocker. I was hoping you got slobber knocker.
That's only there. It's only Sunday, man. It's only Sunday. So but
snot bubbles.
It's gonna be a grown man game. I actually went back and watched the Alabama offensive series yesterday. I watched every offensive series of the SEC championship. And those two guards are back. I mean, they lost their center and replaced him with a kid from Washington. Their tackles are back. I mean, it's, you know, that defensive line group, they should look at that tape and go, we have got to play better. The defensive line group at Georgia should want to play this game as much as anybody. And they got left out to dry because they were beat up depth. And those guys had to play a ton of snaps. You talked about it in the offseason. You know, these guys got in better shape for this game in particular. And got to play more snaps. They had to do against Kentucky. So I think the one thing is Jalen Milroe, and that's, you got to tackle him. I think you've got to tackle. You got to get into the ground, and that's easier said than done. I don't think Georgia's going to sit back, and I don't think they're going to put two spies on him like they did a lot of times in that game. I think this is a big game for Smile Munden, Jalen Walker, C.J. Allen, Raylan Wilson, all those guys to be able to be that, be able to be those edges, those inside backers that have contained. It's easier said than done to get to him, but to get into the ground. He breaks a ton of tackles. He's going to get his. He's going to get some yards. That you have to understand that and accept that. But when you get a chance to get into the ground, I counted three times in that game where I felt like they could have got into the ground, that he turned what would have been sacks and losses into more than 5 or 6 yard gains. Sometimes it was 15, 18. Sometimes enough to move the chains, and that's where you got to get into the ground, and that's very, very important.
Man, the way they play Jalen Milroe, Rusty, is going to be fascinating to me, because I thought they did a good job last year. Like, I mean, I would even say very good job. I mean, you look back at that game, and I know he got a little bit of a break on the fourth down play, with that. But they sacked him four times. They did get him to leave the pocket, make some poor throws, kind of flushed him out a little bit. He hit him with a couple of big runs, especially in the fourth quarter. When they were they kind of ran some counter stuff and ran that power back the other way. And I feel like, in a way, Rusty, Georgia's a little bit better, a little bit better equipped to match up, because I think – you look at four healthy inside linebackers, that's so much better than, especially with the experience those guys now have. I feel like they're in such better shape to handle that. Damon Wilson is more of an every down player for you right now. Ty Ingram Dawkins is a big factor in this defense. I mean, 5 tackles for a loss in 3 games. Nasir Stackhouse is lightened up. You know, Christian Miller's, you know, having a good season so far. I feel like, you know, if Georgia can get a couple of these bodies back, I feel like they're in a little bit better spot to kind of chase and get after them. But you're right. They've got to kind of hold up to that physical mass that is Alabama for 4 quarters. And that's tough, man. That's going to be very tough. And that's why I think this is a complimentary football type game. You know, if you're Georgia's offense, do I need you going out there and scoring 42? Well, yeah, that'd be great. Go ahead and do that right now. But more than anything, hey, let's how about throw a game together where the worst you do is 5 and out, or the worst you do is, you know, 7 and out or 6 and out or something like that. You know, worst you do is one first down on a drive. Those are that's the kind of game I think Georgia needs to have, where it's consistently threatening, consistently putting up points, consistently putting pressure on what's a pretty young Alabama defense in some ways, and giving that D-line a little bit of a rest so that it can go to work.
Yeah, you know, looking at some of the stats there, I mean, he was 13 for 23 for 192, mm-hmm. but he threw 2 touchdowns, no picks. He had only
– You hit the nail on the head in the press box. You said every time they needed a play, he made it. Now, one of those was that 4th down play, and that was up, but that was kind of his game. It wasn't anything eye-popping stat-wise, but he never missed a chance to make that play whenever they really needed it.
Credit him, man. But you know, the first series of the game, Jalen Walker comes out. They get him on 3rd down, that spy play. Here's what I've said this in a ton of interviews over the last year. Michigan looked at that, and they said, we're coming after him. Mm-hmm. We're not going to sit back. We're going to come. I really think that Georgia is going to have to play a mixture of that game plan and what they did last year. You know what I mean? You got to pick your spots, because here's the problem, man. If he breaks contain, it's a first down. It's a brand new set of downs. Those types of things. I've read a lot. I've listened to a lot. The talk on him is intermediate passing game, because he has a really good deep ball. He throws a really good deep ball. And, you know, he did struggle a little bit against Georgia in the middle of the field, some of those throws. So that's where Georgia is going to have to make their hay. They got to get off the field, man. And they did a good job. He only converted 2 third downs. The problem was – what he did on early downs against them, but he only converted 2 third downs in that whole entire game. So it wasn't like that. Listen, it's a hell of a player. This is a big freaking athlete, man. And he gives you issues, as you can imagine. But I just think when you look at how George is going to bring this, Damon Wilson's a good one too. You say that, you know, a little bit more athletic there. You hope, and this is something that we'll follow all week, but you hope Mykel Williams is back, because, you know, that's Caden Proctor. That's a first round. He's a first round offensive tackle. You know, he just came back for his first game last week against Wisconsin. So you look at those tackle matchups and some of those things, and Warren Brinson, all those guys. So there's a lot of different storylines we're going to cover all week, and I could really get into it, but I'll give you an early key. And the early key to me is, when you get your hands on him, you got to get him to the ground. You cannot allow him to extend plays and break tackles, because he will 6, 7, 8 yards you to death.
Yeah, he will. And when he gets into the secondary, when he gets things going, when he starts to angle towards the sideline there late, you're looking at late hits. You're looking at hurt defensive backs having to tackle a 30-pound quarterback. We've got hell breaking loose at my house right now. But it's just, you know, there's so many things that can go wrong when that quarterback gets into the back half like that. And, you know, Georgia's got to get rid of, Rusty, and it's been a problem in every single game they've lost to Alabama, is they grab them a face mask or a horse collar, and it's not always a great call.
At a bad time.
It's not always a great call. Now, don't get me wrong.
Not a bad time.
First time. And they've got to try to find a way to avoid, you know, those types of things. Listen, one place you do not need to avoid, though, is our folks over at GameTime.co. Listen, we love GameTime. They specialize in last-minute ticket deals. Whether it's a comedy show, I've bought tickets for comedy shows. I bought, you know, concert. It doesn't matter. Sporting event, NBA, MLB, NASCAR, doesn't matter. They carry the tickets, and they are great with those last second ticket deals. And listen, you can go on over to Game Time, and you can, you can go on over to Game Time, and you can use the promo code on three, and that will get you that'll get you $20 off of your first order, no matter what it is, and that's terms apply. And that this is the Georgia Alabama game right here. They've got this $663 ticket right here highlighted down here around the 10-yard line. As you can see right there, kind of in the middle, those tickets are going for
those have come. I mean, I know it's crazy. Those have come down a little bit since we did our last podcast.
They have. So the average ticket price is down a little bit. You are 100% correct.
So that's down. So if you wait it out a little bit, I know a lot of people are trying to get over there.
Yeah, maybe that $3,000 ticket right there come on down for you a little bit.
For $3,000, I better play two series at least.
I'd may pay them $3,000 not to pull me out of the stands, Rusty, and put me in that. It'll probably end up saving me my deductible too. Come on over to Game Time. You can see all of these different seats here. You can see how interactive this site is. The app is even better. And use promo code ON3 for $20 off your first order. And that's terms apply on that. And we love our folks over at Game Time. And listen, while we're at it here, let's talk about our man Andy Ludeke at MyPerfectFranchise.net. Are you a displaced corporate executive? Or are you looking to diversify? You're a business owner. You've got some experience and you just kind of want to get something else going. You're kind of tired of the same old, same old. Well, MyPerfectFranchise.net is the place for you. My man Andy Ludeke is a huge college sports fan. He's a franchise veteran, having owned multiple franchises and businesses. And using his expertise, he can help you find your American dream. We've had some success stories here at Dogs HQ and other places in the ON3 network. Call Andy. Put your life and career in your own hands. And best of all, his services are 100% free to you. So what do you have to lose? Find your perfect franchise at MyPerfectFranchise.net. Now, Rusty, outside of injuries, we talked about Mykael Williams, Jordan Hall, Warren Brinson. I think to start the week here, I think we probably predict, good chance all of them are going to have a chance to play on Saturday. But got to get through a whole week of practice. Got to get back on the field. How are they feeling now that they came back together as a team? Probably today at some point or tonight. All of that's there. But outside of that, if you were, let's say, you had access to every practice and you kind of got a summary of every practice, and you were listening for one thing on offense and one thing on defense that was happening this week on the practice field, that they were doing well or that they were doing it all, what would be the – let's start on offense. What would be the one thing on offense that you would want to hear about this team that you would be listening for?
I would say better perimeter blocking. I mean, that's such a big part of Georgia's game, even in the run game. Better perimeter blocking. I think we talked about Brock Bowers and how good he is and how good he was. I think his blocking was underrated. And they didn't get it talked about a bunch, but they've got to block on the perimeter because the screen game, bubble game is so important to Georgia, and it always has been. It was under Munkin. I mean, Munkin was screen your tail to death. Mike Bobo runs it. Getting these guys out in space and running the football, being able to run out on the perimeter. I think perimeter blocking to me is a big deal. I know that's not a sexy choice, but if you want to get in, if I could go watch practice, like I want to see what's going on out there, because I think against Kentucky, man, they did not do well out in space and blocking guys. Too many people getting up the field in a numbers game and just can't have that. But one note, I'll mention this too, Jake, and get your thoughts. I'm looking at the stats for this game last year, and Georgia averaged 2.5 yards a carry. If they average 2.5 yards a carry Saturday night, they're going to get ran out of the building. I can just tell you right now, if they average 2.5 yards a carry, they're going to tote one in Tuscaloosa Saturday night. Cannot happen again.
Well, if that happens, they better hold Alabama to under two
again. Yes. Yeah. Well, it was 27-24 with a 2.5 yard average. So, Georgia had a chance there, but they cannot do that way this offense is built. What different kind of weapons they have now. I will say this on a positive note. And, Kendall Milton and Dazen Edwards, good guys, gave a lot to Georgia. But I think Georgia's a hell of a lot more athletic in the backfield now with ETN. Going to have Nate Frazier, some of these guys in this game where they can make guys miss. They can give you problems. And that's how you take 3 yards and turn into seven. I can't say that enough. I cannot say, people ask me all the time, well, what's his 40? I'm like, when's the last time you've seen a running back run a 40? Saquon Barkley did it today in his game, and it was probably one of only in the entire NFL. Not many carries over 25 yards. Can you move the chains? Can you make a guy miss in small spaces? ETN has shown me some of that. I think at times he dances a little too much. If you want to be picky, I think you got to lower your shoulder sometimes and get that. But I really like the more athletic package that Georgia is going to bring against Alabama in this game this weekend. I think the Georgia running backs versus the Alabama linebackers in space is one of those things that I'm really, really watching this weekend. I think Georgia, you know, they might could take one of those and get a couple explosive plays out of their running backs.
You know, you mentioned something that I think is an underrated aspect missing from this offense, and I think maybe hurting it worse than their capabilities as receivers. But Ladd and Brock were such good blockers on the edge. Yes. And that's big because you want your threats to be some of your best blockers on the edge, because then you can run different pass concepts where those guys can kind of sell that they're running a route, bring their guy with them, and block another guy, and essentially block two, get a two for one on a play like that. And Georgia may be missing some of that right now. They're definitely not blocking well on the perimeter. I would say, you know, if I was getting a summary of practice every day, if it was like, hey, listen, I think we're doing a good job correcting those communication issues you had up front against Clemson. Because when I go back and watch that game, against Kentucky. Because Rusty, when I go back and I look at that game, the more I watch it, I'm not sitting here watching a bunch of guys stepping on their own feet and getting bull rushed into the backfield. I'm watching guys that are taking the wrong step in pass protection and getting beat on a shoulder, or it looks like they're expecting a chip block and they're not getting a chip block, or a protection was slid one way but the back wasn't inverted. Like, it's those types of mistakes. It's not like Ernest Green is just, you know, getting knifed up under for a sack. I mean, it happened maybe once or twice in that game, but I just feel like there's some communication issues for Georgia up front. If for nothing else, maybe only 50% of those busts or those negative plays were against Kentucky like that. Mm-hmm. What could Georgia have done with 50% less negative, impact on the quarterback like that? So I would say getting those issues, but perimeter blocking is huge for the offense too. And that's something that's run game extension. That's mm-hmm. that's cheap yards that you want to try to get to and are easy to get to if you can get teams blocked at kind of that point of attack. And, you know, listen, that's what I was looking at it. I was watching them play on Friday night, and I know it's not going to blow any Georgia fans' skirt up or anything like that. I know they're not going to be all fired up about it, but I'm sitting over here wondering, like, hey, I wonder Jackson Meeks was still on this football team. Mm. Would he be playing? Would he be getting reps at split in and getting a chance to block out there on the edge because he was that kind of player for him? I don't know. They seem to value that type of guy. So, you know, it's just you think about those things and kind of what is missing from this team, and some physicality out there on the perimeter is definitely missing.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia's they can't have your cake and eat it too. Is kind of what I mean. They're going to lose some really good players. We could do a whole show on guys starting other places. I mean, Austin Blaskey starting center right now at North Carolina. You know what I mean? That would be a guy that'd be very valuable to them too as well. So I do think Jackson Meeks is one of those guys for sure. I saw Jaheim Singletary play good yesterday. Xavier Zori played good yesterday for Arkansas. So a lot of good players, good roster. Those guys went on to different places. But, you know, you look at all of that, talking about that part of it, Jake. And, you know, I did mention this last week, and Georgia always seems to have a wrinkle in a game like this. And they snuck Anthony Evans out there last year on that punt return. And I'm telling you know, that they just the way they brought him on the field, like kind of camouflaged him and brought him in, and he almost ran that thing back. So what wrinkle did they do? What player over the last 2 weeks have they said, okay, here's the play. Here's what we're going to use you as. Who's going to get their chance to have an impact in this game? It's somebody that we're not talking about right now. There's going to be something. They're always going to have a wrinkle, and that is something Kirby Smart's done. He just has. So we'll see. We'll see as this week goes on. But, you know, it's a huge game. You know, it's a big game for Georgia. You cannot just can't sugarcoat it, man. They've got to win this game. They need to win this game. This is a game for Carson Beck. If you're that dude, and I think he is, I mean, this is Carson, the entire country, entire college football, the entire world of football is watching this game Saturday night. All eyes are on you. Every NFL GM, whatever, they're going to find time to watch this game Saturday night. So it's a big game for him, man. He could really He can really do some things and kind of put his, I don't think Carson Beck could care less if he is in the Heisman talk. I don't think that's ever, from anybody I've heard, I don't think that's ever been a thing of his.
Yeah.
I do think he has a goal of being a high draft pick, which he should be. And that, you know, that you love that about him, but he has said a million times, the reason he came back is to win his own championships. And if he comes back and he beats Alabama in this game, that's going to go a long way for kind of his chapter. A lot of his history at Georgia Saturday night at Tuscaloosa. I think Stafford's the other guy that did it in 07. So there's a lot. David Green did it, I guess, 02. David Green Shockley did that. But, you know, you can join the likes of those guys who are pretty good names to be in a group with.
Listen, if you're thinking about throwing a bet down this week, I want to tell you a little tidbit of information. I've been to every Georgia-Alabama game since that 07 game. I didn't go to that one. Did not go to 07. Started with the blackout in 08. I've been to every single one of them. The one in Lucas Oil was the only one that Georgia's won. So if that, you know, if you're the kind of guy that bets juju and stuff like that, you know, there's a little tidbit for you if you can have it. Rusty, real quick.
Well, does that mean I need to go? Because I'm undefeated in Tuscaloosa.
You're asking, hey, let's get you on the board, buddy.
Well, I got to do the show afterwards, man. We're going to have to break the jinx. But I've been to Tuscaloosa. I've been to Tuscaloosa twice. I've been 02 and 07.
Listen, if we announced that you were going to that game, and we went to do that post game show.
Oh boy!
After a win, and they knew you were there, they don't care who was on here.
No doubt.
Man, you want to talk about the king, you would be the absolute king. Defensively, real quick, if you're getting summaries of practice, what would be the best thing you could hear out of practice this week for the defense other than injuries?
Who's healthy, Jake? I don't think I need to hear anything scheme-wise. I don't think I need to hear that Jalen Walker runs a 22 on the GPS. Show me who's ready to play. Show me who's there. Again, you know, that side of the football has been very consistent. You know, I think we kind of nitpick me personally going back and watching the game. I think I nitpicked them a little bit. I did talk to some people on Friday. And, again, you talk about communication issues and those are very correctable on offensive line. You know, in fact, that's good news. If you're a Georgia fan, you know, if you hear those communication issues, that certainly can be fixed. I did hear there was some bust. Let's just say there were some players out of position against Kentucky, and not on one or two plays, like continuous plays. And some of those players had to come out of the game. So those are teachable things because all those dudes are Jimmys and Joes now. Those are aliens, you know, especially on that defensive side of the football. You just got to be able to teach that young man how to play so he can play with his natural ability and just let him turn him loose. So you want him playing more than you want him thinking. So very, very teachable, very, very teachable things there. Well, Megan's on them tonight. She's ready to maybe get Megan to practice because she is. There's bus and communication issues, and they got whipped. So Megan's ready. Kirby might have to bring her in to talk to some folks. We need to get her to talk to him before that Bloody Tuesday practice.
That's exactly what I was just thinking.
Get him going.
Rusty, I will say this. I would love to hear something about kind of the middle of this defense, not the linebackers. The front seven is the front seven, and they know what they got to do, and they're capable of doing it. And I don't think a good or a bad week of practice is going to have a whole lot in there. Really need to get some guys healthy and all that stuff back. Yep. But I think that four guys are key to this game for Georgia in the middle of the defense. In a certain section, I guess, middle of the defense, and that's the guys who are going to play safety and the guys going to play star. And I think Jonel Aguero, Malachi Starks, Dan Jackson, and KJ Bolden, the ability to go back on the football, to be able to hold their own in a slot fade. If Alabama gets Ryan Williams matched up, you got to try to stay on top of that kid and not let him get behind you. Give yourself a chance to make a play on the football or stop it once it's caught. Because that's something that Alabama used to jumpstart its offense against Wisconsin early in that game. And I think it's something they're going to try to get into with Ryan Williams and with some of those faster guys they've got in that wide receiver group. Rusty, we got a big week coming up, man.
Let me give you this. Ryan Williams, 5-star. And yeah. I'm telling you, I watched him at Under Armour camp, and I looked at Charles Power, and I said, that might be the best wide receiver that I've seen in a long time. And he goes, yeah, he's a junior. He's a 5-star. You know what KJ Bolden was? He was a five-star. You know what Malachi Starks was? He was a five-star. So all those things, this is alpha versus alpha. You got to go win those battles. You're going to lose a couple. You don't want to give up chunk plays. Yeah, man, this is just one of those games where this is grown man football, and these guys were highly rated for a reason. And I will leave on this, and we can end on this. I don't know if you guys saw it, but on our Dogs HQ message board, one of our posters there brought it, a screenshot of someone who was at the KJ Bolden autograph session yesterday. The young man and his son, I believe I got this right, were running late. They got there 30 minutes late, and they were scrambling to get there and got there very late. KJ Bolden was getting into the car, and this man got out with his son, kind of caught him at the very end. He said KJ did not hesitate. He stopped. He got out. He talked to them. He signed autographs. He took care of them. He talked to them about the game. He wasn't rushing them at all. Spent a few quality minutes with them. Thanked them for coming. And you know, listen, I've said it a lot, man. This kid is special. And little things like that, because he's the number one player in Georgia last year. Highly recruited, high profile type kid. He had every right to get in that car and leave, and nobody would ever said a word. But he didn't, and he did the right thing. And little things like that tells you what type of player, what type of person that kid is in Georgia.
Yeah, no doubt. I was trying to look that thing up, but yeah, that was a cool story.
Yeah, I've read it on several places, different things, and I saw it on Facebook today. His dad shared it, so I'm just telling you, I've known this kid for a while, so you know he's going to get better as he plays, and this is a big game for him. But yeah, that kid's special, man.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's a good team, man. Two good football teams going to play on Saturday, and we got everything that you could possibly want this week. We're going to be linking up with Bama Online for a group podcast.
I'm not doing it. I'm done with them. You handle them.
Okay, I'll go handle them. I'll go deal with Tim Watts. We just had him on the radio show earlier today, but we got Tim Watts, got Andrew Bone. We're going to talk about some recruiting battles at Alabama, some of the history and all that stuff. We're probably going to cuss each other out and say that we're not going to talk to each other for another month too. Probably get into that. But listen, we also got Dogs HQ Plus coming up on Tuesday morning. We're going to look a little bit ahead at Alabama, a little film stuff, and get into the injury situation. We will have – listen, what you don't understand about Dogs HQ Plus is it's after that first practice of the week. And we kind of – that's kind of our first giving everybody a look at what we're – you know, seeing and hearing as far as injuries go. So that's a big one. And then we'll be making our predictions on Thursday, maybe with a little bit of a special announcement. And I hope we're able to make that on Thursday. But big week of shows, Rusty. Big week of coverage over at Dogs HQ. And folks, listen, if you use the promo code GODAWGS, 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 you get 50% off a year-long membership over at Dogs HQ. GODAWGS right now this week, big game flash sale. Come on over. We'd love to have you. But for this one, that's all we got. Y'all take it easy and have a wonderful week.